Welcome to Our Life in Transition. Listener discretion is advised. This podcast deals with issues about LGBT families and trans-specific topics. We would love to hear from you and welcome your questions and comments. However, we will not tolerate any discriminatory language or hate speech. So please, just don't do it. Enjoy the show. You know, and the key is, I guess, having just, you know, an open dialogue and answering questions, asking questions, being very matter-of-fact about things.
Yeah.
In an age-appropriate fashion.
When we were kids, we met at camp.
After college, we got married.
10 years later, we finally had a baby.
That same year, I came out as trans.
This is the story of our journey.
Through marriage.
Parenting.
Gender.
And all the changes that life brings.
This is
Our Life in Transition.
But yeah, but I was sitting here and doing vocal exercises so that I sounded good on the podcast. Because I was not happy with how I sounded the last podcast.
I'm sorry.
I was being lazy.
Okay.
Yeah. You ready?
Sure.
How was drop off with the munchkin?
Fine. She just yammers a lot.
Yes.
I was like, I'm very tired, kid. As evidenced by the yawning. I am very tired, kid. I have only had one cup of coffee. And, I just want to listen to the music. And, like, please listen to the music and just chill. Like, what about this? What about that? What about this? For one part of it, she was convinced I was going the wrong way and I had to turn around.
Oh, God.
And I was like, no, this is the way. I promise you. And then she was like, we got to the bridge. And she's like, oh, yeah, this is the way. I'm like, child. And then she didn't count the bridges, because now that's a thing we do. We count the bridges.
Oh, God.
There's four bridges. So she didn't count the bridges. And then we got to Route 9. And she's like, but we missed the bridges. And I'm like, we just went over the bridges. We're on the number 9 road. And she's like, oh, yeah.
It's not my fault you weren't paying attention.
She's very picky about music today.
She's picky about everything.
She's
getting too particular.
But, I mean, it's fine. But, like, now, like, she'll look out the window and she'll be like, what is that? That is a house. Do people live in the house? Probably. Who are the people that live in the house? I don't know.
Oh, you know what she is? She's turning into that kid in the beginning of Home Alone who was pestering the drivers.
Oh, so,
like,
yeah.
Does this get good gas mileage? Like, I don't know. Get out of here. Oh.
But, I mean, it's fine. She's curious and she wants to learn and, you know, she's learning about the world around her and it's okay. And I have to say, for the half hour car ride to daycare, it's not that bad. But the other day, driving home from Pennsylvania, after I went to see my Nana.
Yeah. No.
I thought she was going to fall asleep.
Nope.
She didn't. And then, like, she points at stuff that she doesn't know what it is. And then she wants you to, like, look. And I'm like, I cannot look. I'm literally going 80 miles an hour.
I'm operating a vehicle that's going at high
speeds. And then she's like, oh. Like, you've somehow disappointed her, and, like, she'll never know that one fact that you could have told her.
Yeah.
And most of the time, the thing is, she knows what it is.
She's testing.
Like, she'll be, like, pointing at something, and I'll be like, I can't look at what you're pointing at. And she's like, the seatbelt. And I'm like, well, if you know what it is, then why are you asking me about it? I'm so confused.
You are a failure, clearly.
I am clearly a failure.
Anyway, hi, everybody.
Hello.
My name is Shannon.
And my name is Rachel.
And welcome to another delightful episode of Our Life in Transition. Oh, I'm not with it yet. Okay, caffeine, come here. Delicious.
I'm not even drinking coffee.
Wait, what are you drinking? What is that?
Chai.
Oh. Chai. Oh, thank you.
Oh.
No, you enjoy your chai. I'm going to sit over here with my iced coffee.
It's a skim milk chai latte.
All right, you bougie.
Trying to be healthy. Mm. So that my knees don't fall apart.
Rachel works for the bourgeoisie.
Take it back.
If looks could kill, I would be dead. Anyway.
So many times before this, trust me.
That is accurate. But
it's a superpower that I could get behind.
Murdering with looks?
Yes.
Just like, meep.
But it would have to be like a delayed effect.
Mm-hmm.
So like, because otherwise, like there would just be piles of bodies around me all the time. It would have to be like a,
yeah,
like I implant something and then like, I don't know, people go out into the parking lot and then their brain explodes. I don't know.
I mean, this is getting elaborate.
Also untraceable because, you know.
Yeah, I mean, anyway. I, and my initial thought was like literally shooting daggers out of your eyes.
No.
But no.
No.
No? Okay. No. Just, so literally the evil eye if it was a superpower.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I got you.
All right. Anyway.
That sounds like a cool character, actually. Nobody can see you.
Supervillain Rachel.
Mm.
But am I a villain? I would be a hero to retail workers everywhere.
I mean, it
I'd be like the Robin Hood of retail workers.
Depends on the context and who writes the history.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
But anyway, back to our kid. Yeah.
So many questions.
It's, you know, I was writing in our Transition Tuesday post this week that, like, about the talk we had about how, like, she doesn't remember things from when she was a little younger. And how, thinking back on, like, my own life, like, I don't remember things past, like, 4 and maybe a little bit of 3.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, so I'm like, oh, everything up to this point is going to get lost somehow. But, like, but she's so freaking smart. Didn't you say she counted to 110 yesterday?
She counted to 110 on the way home. That's when we finally got a break from the questions. She got bored with asking me questions and just started randomly counting and then just kept going. She needed help with, like, the tens. Like, she needed help, like, with, like, 30 and 50. Because it's not, like, a 5. It's not
5T.
Right.
In 3T.
Right.
Yeah.
But 40 and 60 and 70.
That makes sense. Good. It's not logical. She's right.
But, it's English.
Yes. English just clubs other languages in the dark and robs them. But... Yeah, she's starting to ask questions about a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
She's starting to ask questions about me.
Well, which, I have questions about you.
I mean, everybody does, honestly. But, yeah.
I don't know what happened, but suddenly a switch flipped in her brain, and now she wants to know, is that a boy? Is that a girl? Is that a boy? Is that a girl? Like,
yeah, with everybody.
With everybody. Like, yeah.
I don't know what happened, but she
I guess she's just at that age where she's starting to recognize differences in people and things like that, you know.
I mean, she sees me every day unmakeuped and unkempt, so one day she was like, buffering. like no. Like, mommy's a girl. It's okay, mom's a girl. And she's like, okay, moved on. But we're getting to the point that we're having to figure out how to have talks with her about certain things and how we're going to handle that.
Yeah.
But, you know, we also need to, like, figure out, like, how much information is too much information.
Right. Like, we don't want to blow her little mind.
Yeah.
You know. And also, we have to keep it, whatever we do, we have to keep in really short snippets because she has the attention span of a goldfish.
Yes.
Like, so... actually getting her attention. And I mean, I think part of what we should do is probably like look for some like books and stuff like that. But
yeah.
And I mean, I tried to have a little talk with her when we went to the baseball game the other night.
Mm-hmm.
Went to Pride Night. And, you know, we all had rainbow stuff on. And I was trying to explain to her, you know, that there are different types of families. And, you know, some people have two moms like she does. And some people have two dads. And she thought that was hilarious. I don't know why, but she, like, laughed hysterically about two dads. Like, two moms is somehow very normal. Two dads. I mean, that's insane. But, yeah, like, so I was trying to kind of talk to her about it that way. And she was like, okay. And I was like, but it doesn't matter, you know, who we love, you know, and all that. And she's like, yeah, right. We do a baseball game? And I'm like, okay.
Okay, moving on.
Like, I don't know whether it actually sank in.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Or not, but...
I want a hot dog. Okay.
Yeah, basically.
But, yeah, I mean, it's... The challenge is to find age-appropriate ways of having these conversations with her. And,
I think the key is also to just keep having the conversations with her. You know, just to reinforce it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even those little snippets at a time, you know, just keep reinforcing it.
Well, and, you know, and so many parents are like, I mean, especially, you know, bigots, but like, but even not so, like, so many people are like, well, they're too young to know anything about that. Like, no, you need to figure out what they can handle and then discuss. What is happening with the coffee?
Is it... They didn't stir it right, and now I'm regretting giving him my change.
Bastards.
For a tip. Well, my chai is at the bottom. Just kidding. Sorry.
No, I'm just...
I'm sorry. I was upset.
I'm enjoying the ASMR. It's crunchy, crunchy, crunchy.
That's another weird thing that we'll have to deal with, but not right now. I'm sorry. So what were you saying? I was very upset with my chai.
Just about, you know, other parents, like, going, like, oh, that they are too young to know anything about that. It's like, no, they need, no, you need to be.
They know. Particular. Like, they, like, okay, yeah, maybe they're not, like, looking at other people's, like, body parts and stuff, but they know about their own.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, and it's in the media, like, they are aware of a lot. Like, my child is aware of everything. She picks up things like a little sponge. Like,
yeah.
And most children do. But if you don't give them context and, you know, have a discussion with them, then they, you know, they don't know what to do with the things that they absorb.
You know, and there's so many, like, people are like, well, you can't talk to them about, like, you know, LGBTQ issues because, you know, you can't force that on them to comprehend. Like,
you'll turn them gay.
But at the same time, it's like, why is your son wearing a shirt that says ladies man? He's three,
right?
Why is
right.
Like, you know,
why are little girls wearing Juicy on their butts?
Yeah, like, why like every time, like, two kids are friends, it's like, oh, is that your boyfriend, is that your girlfriend? Like, yeah. No, they're toddlers.
Yeah,
what's wrong with you?
Society forces that,
but
on you anyway. So
it's you know, and the key is, I guess, having just, you know, an open dialogue and answering questions, asking questions, being very matter of fact about things.
Yeah.
In an age appropriate fashion. I was thinking about when we went to the Trans Wellness Conference 2 years ago. The one panel actually had a father and a daughter, and they were talking about their relationship growing up and how he was very open about things in age-appropriate fashions and just kind of adjusted the conversation as she got older. And she's, like, very well adjusted. And I guess that's, like...
We think. I mean, we only met her for one panel.
I mean, seemingly. But, like...
It was a good hour-long act, if it's not, you know.
Yeah. And it's so frustrating.
People think Shannon's well adjusted too.
Yeah. fools, all of you.
No, I think that you're right. I think it's just a matter of, you know, answering questions. My big thing is, like, I don't want to avoid questions.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Like, there might be a situation where she'll ask something that catches us off guard, and I'm okay with being like, you know what, put a pin in that for a couple minutes till I figure out how to do this. But I don't want to be like, you'll figure it out when you're older.
Yeah.
Like, that's not...
You don't need to know about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. It's... If you have questions, you want answers. And I think that avoiding it is the reason that people are so freaking, you know... Yeah. So immature about this kind of stuff. Because, like, if you avoid talking about it, if it's taboo, then... It's also this, like, forbidden fruit type of thing.
Yeah. You know?
There's something naughty about it. You know, like...
Which, I mean, that's just the rule of thumb with sex education in general.
Well, yeah.
Like, in schools. And like, don't tell them anything. It's like, okay, well, now they don't know anything. And that's why, you know, teen pregnancy was, like, out of control. But, you know, it's... I think to your point, like, yeah, it's just kind of like a... That is a very good question. I'm going to affirm that that is a good question. That's a good question. Give me a minute and let me think on how best to answer that.
Yeah.
And think about it and get right back to them. Like,
yeah.
It's not that complicated.
And I'm sure that some of the time we will do that and then she'll be like, I don't need to know that now. I'm watching Bluey.
Yeah.
You know, which is...
Okay.
You know, that's okay too. But the answer is there when she comes back with it again.
And, you know, and the thing, too, like, with me, she does comprehend that there have been changes. Because, like, we have our wedding photo, you know,
right.
in the living room. And she looks at it all the time. And she's like, ooh, mommy, that's when you were a princess. And mom was very handsome. Like.
Right. I don't know how she learned.
I beats the hell out of me. I don't know.
Handsome versus pretty or. But
all right. She comes to us with, like, knowledge, and I'm like, where did you pick that up from? I don't understand.
Yes.
Like, yeah. And you know, and it's, I have hesitancy about talking to her about myself only in so much that it's hard for me to talk about sometimes. And which seems weird given the podcast and my Instagram and my TikTok and all of my other social medias, and I talk about it constantly, but one-on-one conversations are different. And, you know, I don't want to confuse her, but she's not confused as is.
Right.
And it's really just a matter of building on that and explaining further how some things work.
Right.
Cause I'm saying, you know, some people are born with one type of brain and one type of body. And some people are born differently. It's not that complicated.
No.
And
which is why I don't understand how, you know, boomers don't understand it. But you know.
Laziness. They don't want to. They don't need to know anything.
Anyhow.
Same reason they don't understand why the economy doesn't work the way it did in 1950.
So, yeah. And then now then we also have to tackle things like, you know, race.
Yeah.
And which is, I think, going to be more of a challenge.
A little bit.
Because she is very white passing.
Yes.
Although,
to an extent, she is very much the same complexion as me. A lot of time, actually, she's darker than I am right now because I haven't been outside in the sun and she has...
Yeah. Well, yeah, but her hair is very white. I mean, she's got a little bit of an olive complexion, but her hair is very light.
Yes.
And not curly and, you know.
She's got my mom's hair.
Yes.
But it's a balancing act because on the one hand, I want to and need to prepare her, but I don't want to scare her. And it's very easy out of neglect of talking about the issues for her to lose connection with her heritage.
Right.
And that's not okay.
No, we don't want that.
I mean, you know, I was saying like a week or so ago about, you know, the way that my brother and I grew up. A lot of, you know, my childhood, my mom was, you know, doing it on her own. It was just her. And she's a white lady. So, like, she really went out of her way to make sure that, like, we understood our heritage, understood our culture as best as possible in the circumstances that we were in. And, you know, it could have been very easy to just, not ostracize, but just kind of not spend the amount of time with our father's families as we did.
Mm.
But she made sure that that was, she made a point that that was a thing that we did.
Right.
So that we weren't just over here with the white side of our family.
Right.
Not understanding where we came from.
Right.
And it's something I feel like we need to make more of a point to do with her. Well, I know. Certain people in my family have just...
I was going to say, if more of your family was talking to us, it might be easier.
Yeah, well, others are, but enough of the rest of my family are. But, you know, it's really just a couple of people.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing, too, is getting her to understand that level of privilege that she does have because of the color of her skin.
Right.
And it's something I am very aware of, which, depending on the context, the time of day, the time of year, how tan I am, how my hair looks, what my gender presentation is, varies wildly depending on who I'm meeting. People are like, oh, you're clearly black, or, oh, you're clearly white. It depends.
I mean, I think to a larger extent now, now that your hair is... like
a curly mass,
really, really grown out.
Mm-hmm.
You present more black,
I suppose. Yeah.
Or people have less questions about.
Yes. Yeah, I say I'm biracial, and people don't go, "No, you're not."
Right. Or they don't go, "Oh, are you Puerto Rican?"
Yeah, I haven't gotten that in a while, actually, which is nice. Start talking to me in Spanish. I'm like, I don't understand what you're saying. But, you know, and we've talked about it before, about, like, you know, the one parent at her daycare was like, oh, she has such nice coloring. Yeah. But, I mean, she does look like the stereotype of, like, a surfer. Like, she's got, like, blondish hair. She's got, like, a tan. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's what she looks like. She looks like she's got a little surfer baby. But, you know, it's important that she, A, has that connection with her heritage, but also understands the place that she sits in a lot of society.
Right.
Because of her appearance. But doing that in such a way that is not going to traumatize her.
Right. We don't want her to be ashamed.
Right.
Because she's not quote unquote black enough.
Yeah, or, that's a problem.
You know,
it doesn't feel good.
Or to be ashamed of being black.
Right.
You have to strike a balance, you know, of that. And I mean, in her heritage, you know, I've done a lot of genealogy, and she's got both enslaved people and slaveholders in her heritage. I mean, you know, and I think it's important for her to understand the mix of experiences.
Yeah.
You know, and the diversity of really everyone's, you know, background. But she has a very rich diversity in her ancestry. So, I mean, I think it's important to hit on all of that. And it's more difficult sometimes to find the the enslaved portions of genealogy, you know, genealogically, but because there was, you know, no, you know, record keeping by name. But I think it's still important to, you know, highlight that in her life, and also, you know, to teach her about the civil rights movement and the fact that she would not exist.
Yeah.
You know, if not for the civil rights movement, because Shannon wouldn't exist.
Yeah, I mean, and in several different ways, because, yeah, I mean, my parents being together would not have been allowed at certain points. And moreover, my dad and that side of my family wouldn't have moved to New Jersey if not for the shit that they were dealing with in Birmingham. And, you know, it wasn't until I was an adult till I was like, oh, wait, my dad came here because of the Great Migration. He was a part of that. Like, it's something that, like, is not necessarily communicated and taught in school.
A lot of recent history gets glossed over, and
I mean, if you get to that,
there's different problems with that, but I think that's why it's incumbent upon us to do, you know, to teach the things that are gonna get glossed over in school,
but also in a not boring, not lecturing kind of way, just in a
not a boring white male version of everything. What? Who writes history books?
Yes.
Boring old white men.
By and large.
And most of them are outdated.
I've gotten a lot of book recommendations recently. I'm like, I don't have all the money in the world to buy books, but I want those books.
She will never read them. How long have you been reading the one book?
Oh, which one?
The one Game of Thrones book.
Oh, I stopped reading that a long time ago. Oh. I have to go back to it, but I'm like, I'm disappointed because the show burned me. Anyway. But
back on topic.
But you know, I mean, and more so than that, I mean, as far as like her heritage, I was shocked, to be perfectly honest, when we did my DNA test. I mean, thanks to my DNA test, I have an idea of where my ancestry comes from in Africa. But also, my dad's got a lot of white ancestry. I know that he does. We found it. So the fact that, like, it was like a 51-49 split as far as my DNA makeup, somewhere along the line, my mom's got some black ancestry.
Well, probably from...
Yeah, probably.
The Mediterranean.
Yeah, probably from the Italian part of my family. Which I'll be very interested when my aunt does her DNA test. Which I think is in the mail right now, so soon.
Thanks again for listening to the show.
If you like what you hear so far, subscribe so you never miss an episode. Also, be sure to share with your friends and family so they can enjoy as well.
This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Thank you for your support.
You know, there's a lot of other cultural things that we need to make sure that she understands are different, you know, depending on who somebody is. And, you know, all those things we need to, you know, honor and respect for what they are.
Yeah.
So many people can't wrap their head around the fact that not everybody is the same.
Not everybody is a white Christian.
No.
From Europe.
Yeah. hell, people who are religious in Europe are not the same as in America either. So, we've talked a little bit here about, you know, where I am religiously, is that a word?
Yes.
Sure. Let's go with that. Yes. And you and I had a certain kind of upbringing that in hindsight I don't really have a lot of religious trauma, but like, it was very singularly focused.
Yeah.
And not as expansive as it could have been.
Right. And I mean, you had more experience with like Muslim culture and beliefs, but I mean, I didn't know anything at all about Islam until 2001, and that was not a good primer.
Yeah, no.
I mean, no, and you know, and
I didn't actually know that.
And I also had
Yeah, I mean, obviously with, yes, I know, but
they're like, there was like, I don't know, 5 people of color in my school.
Yeah, I know.
And 4 of them were Catholic.
I forget how sheltered you were.
I was. And also, we both have some hidden Jewish ancestry on both of our trees. And, you know, I think it's important that, you know, I think it's just important to touch on, you know, all different religions and cultures and beliefs and non-beliefs.
Yeah.
You know, rather than just having the kind of very narrowly focused
monolithic
religious upbringing that we had.
I mean, the other thing too is like, it's hard to explain class structure to a kid.
Yeah, but kids can see the minute they go to school. Kids can see, well, that kid's got new shoes and this one doesn't. Like, they can see, they may not have a name for it, but they can see, you know, different levels of different economic
inequality
and different economic like markers.
Mm-hmm.
And that little stuff, you know, kids pick up on that.
And I think with a lot of kids, there is that, like, I comprehend that there are differences, but I don't necessarily understand why that is.
Right.
And also, like, gotta avoid, like, the just jealousy factor. Like, well, that's unfair. I want that. I should have that.
Right.
That's a hard thing to explain. And I remember being a little kid. Well, I want this. Why can't I have it right now?
Right.
You know, we have McDonald's at home. Wasn't just because Mom didn't want to stop at McDonald's. It's like, we don't have McDonald's money right now. Just shush.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, you know, I remember being in junior high and when South Park came out, everybody was talking about South Park. South Park, South Park, South Park. I'm like, I know that it exists. I haven't seen it yet. And I didn't see it for months and months because we didn't have TV for several months. There was a point that, like, the lights were off. Like, and other kids were, that was so far from their experience. They could never comprehend that. And, you know, I don't want her to have to ever experience that. But understanding it is a different thing.
Right. But she should know that is the experience of some people and not for any fault of their own, you know, in many cases. I mean, we're gonna raise a little socialist. we're trying to teach her about the evils of capitalism. And if you ask her viva la what, she will very ardently respond viva la proletariat. I'm proud of that. Shannon is proud of that. But
I wanted to do it on your parents.
But in all seriousness, you know, I think the important thing about not necessarily teaching the evils of capitalism versus the good of socialism, but more so the importance of taking care of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you know, people are more important than corporations and, you know, like, that kind of stuff, you know, and things, you know, teaching ethics that don't exist in capitalism so much, like teaching the golden rule and, you know, humanism, you know, and, you know, just the value of human life and human dignity and, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, that's the kind of kid I want to raise.
I mean, one of the things that always baffled me is that, you know, going back to religion for a second, like, growing up, I would sit in church, I would listen to the sermon, I would take the lessons that we were learning in church, and I would digest that shit. I don't know what other people were listening to. Because a lot of other people didn't quite get the memo. And, you know,
it's funny how you can sit in a church of 100 people or 50 people and they can come up with such wild... They can listen to the same thing and come up with such wildly different ideas.
Which, you know, I do question, like, if you're sitting there and you're just going, like, well, this is bullshit, and I don't...
Then why are you there?
Why are you there?
because that's what you do.
You know, and...
But if you're not there, you'll get marked absent. People will talk about you.
I think the best, like, quick summary, like, to explain what I took away from my Christian upbringing, just go watch Godspell. That's it. Because first time I saw Godspell, I'm like, yeah, that's everything that I believe. What the fuck is wrong with everybody else? Why don't you understand that? And I was like, oh, you're all Pharisees. Okay, cool. Like, gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, don't walk into a church and call everybody a Pharisee, though.
Maybe. No, do. Do it. Do
it. Don't blame us. You didn't get the idea here.
You have free will. I'm just encouraging you. What you do with that is entirely up to you. But yeah, I've never understood, like, exploiting people for money or power or status. It makes no sense to me. Like, I want stuff, sure, but like, I also don't want other people to suffer so that I can have stuff.
Yeah. Like, and I don't understand where it became the American ideal that, you know, every man for himself.
Yeah,
like, that never, I don't know, I don't feel like that used to be the ideal in America. I mean,
you know what it is? It to a large extent it has been, but now we're saying the quiet part out loud. And there's so many people that, like, talk about, like, capitalism as if that is our political structure. Like, no, our political structure is supposed to be democracy, not capitalism. It's not, yeah. It's not the
and
same thing.
I always go back to Reagan, like,
fucking Reagan.
But what happened to the Shining City on a Hill speech? You know, we're supposed to be a beacon of love and freedom and hippy dippy shit. And where is everybody?
You know, the thing with Reagan is, like, Reagan put in so many things into motion that now, like, several steps removed from Reagan, like, they're so far past where the fuck he was, but, like, it's still, a lot of it is.
It's a legacy.
It's
his
legacy. His legacy.
I think it was Nancy's legacy, mostly.
Yeah, well.
Because he didn't know where he was.
Some of the time. The rest of the time he did. But, yeah, but he's one of those people that, like, you hear stories like, oh, he'd give you, like, the shirt off his back if he saw, like, on a one-on-one, like, basis, but then he would also, like, very callously put in systems that would just go, fuck you.
Yeah.
All of you. Like, you don't need money. You don't need dignity or a fair justice system or anything. Like,
it's... Or mental health care or...
I mean, it's the same thing, you know, we've talked about, not by name, but we've mentioned politicians that we have personally known who, like, have that kind of, like, they seem like really chill people and understand this concept,
really nice,
but then
really
everything
chill
that they
people
do...
And everything that they do is just...
Horrific.
Yeah.
So, I mean, figuring out how to inculcate this and explain this and communicate this to the Munchkin is a lifelong process, but figuring out where to start is without overwhelming her.
Well, I think we just start with the simple and fine teachable moments. I mean, I think that's the thing is like, so you see something on TV or you hear about something and you find a time to make it teachable.
Yeah.
Going to the Pride night
was
a time that we could teach, you know?
I am still slightly shocked about the whole Pride segment that was on Blue's Clues. A couple weeks ago?
Well, like, I think that's part of it, too. You know, there's a lot of more children's media that are coming around to this type of stuff. I mean, Sesame Street is covering race and homosexuality and, two moms and two dads. Like, there's a lot of that that is in the media, and part of it is also just normalizing it.
Yeah.
Like, not necessarily pointing it out and saying, hey, here's this thing, but just making it a normal.
Yeah, that one segment thing on Sesame Street that's like, you know, I love my family.
Yeah.
All different types of families. There's all different types of families. And just casually, it's just like, I love my moms. And that's it. Moving on.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so many people freaked out about that. Like, how dare you do that? You're teaching our kids to be gay. Like, no. Other types of people exist. Just showing them existing isn't teaching anything. They exist. Stop. You're trying to hide the fact that...
that people exist.
There are other people who exist because you don't like it. That's a you problem, sweetie.
Yeah.
Billy
Porter on Sesame Street.
Oh. Yeah, I'm sad. Pose is over.
Focus.
I'm trying. But, you know...
I'm not sure whether Emily has your attention span or you have Emily's attention span.
I'm not entirely sure. Does she have attention problems? Or am I just a giant three-year-old? I don't know.
I'm going with the giant three-year-old.
Maybe.
Based on everything. Based on the sum total picture.
Fine.
I'm going to call giant three-year-old.
Okay.
Well, and then we have more... Then we have stuff to talk about that's more close to home.
Yeah.
Now, we have to figure out how to explain the future of our little unit. And I think this is going to be the hard part because the Munchkin is very into routine.
Yes.
So, big changes are going to be difficult.
Yeah. You know, and I'm worried, not worried, but I'm nervous and anxious, you know, with everything we were just talking about. For instance, just heretofore every day of her life, I have been here. So.
That's not true. You were in upstate New York for 2 days.
That's true. One weekend. In almost 4 years. I mean, it. Me not being here, it makes me nervous. It makes me, you know, a little sad, obviously. Just thinking there are going to be days when I'm not here to teach her, to guide her, to give her a hug when she might need it. And it's just, you know, it's hard, but and I'm anxious about it. And we'll figure it out, but... I mean, that's going to be difficult trying to get her to understand at first.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't really know how to necessarily explain... I don't really know how to explain the whys and things like that. It's just... It just is. You know? And I think the most important thing is to make sure that she knows that, you know, things are changing, but nothing is changing with our relationships with her.
Right.
I mean, that she still has mom and she still has mommy and...
Yeah.
you know, sometimes she might have to talk to mom on the computer, you know, or on the phone, but she still has us both, and it has nothing to do with her.
Right. But, you know, it's...
How am I going to do her hair?
Good luck. Do you need a tutorial?
No, I need a buzz cut. Don't. I would never buzz her hair.
No.
The look that you just gave me. I'm the one with the duster. No, I would never cut her hair.
Though everybody should shave their head at least once. I am of the opinion. That was backwards. That was a Yodism. But no, everybody should shave their head once. You know, she's like 14. She's like, I'm shaving my head. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when she's old enough to make her own decisions.
And you're not old enough to make your own decisions. Mom, I'm 40. Well. Sorry, got to mature a little bit more. But.
You're a very immature 40-year-old. You're barely 38.
Yeah, I can't.
She's already 30.
Hopefully by then I've matured, so.
She's some of the stuff that comes out of her mouth. She's like 3 going on 30.
Oh yeah, she's a freaking old lady. It's, you two need to calm down. I'm watching Bluey. It's like she sounds like my mom. Mm-hmm. She sounds like my mom. Like, will you stop talking? I'm trying to watch my shows. I'm like, all right, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt your stories, miss. Like that's, but so yeah, so we've got some figuring out to do. Though I think actually doing this was a good brainstorming session, honestly.
Yeah. But if anybody's got advice.
Yeah.
You know, if you've had conversations with your kids or other people's kids, although, you know, other people's kids, like, with their permission. You know? I don't want to hear from you if you just, like, randomly walk up to children on the playground and start talking to them about, like, diversity or yeah. but I mean you know,
hey Billy, have you ever read Marx? Like, what the fuck? Get out of here.
I'm only 2 steps away from that. I have my own child to indoctrinate, so yeah, yeah.
We'll see, we'll just send her to daycare, you know, it's her little revolution.
Boy,
no more nap time.
She already does that. Oh, what God, do we no. want? More goldfish. When do we want it? Now! No. Oh, God.
Oh, no. She's going to be an interesting person. Anyway, the...
Mrs. McDill, your daughter is holding us hostages. She's barricaded herself in the playroom.
They're waving flags and singing songs. I don't understand what's happening.
But half of them are gibberish. We don't know what they want.
What? 30-hour work week? I don't understand. 40 weekend? What?
Oh.
Yeah.
Well...
Anyway.
I hope we don't raise a violent extremist, but I hope we raise a social activist.
Yeah, that's it. That's the guideline. Just like, not a terrorist. Just a thought leader. That's all. Oh, God. That's all. That's the goal. Yeah. A socially conscious thought leader. Yeah.
Have dreams of her creating a cult.
A cult or commune. Depends on your definition.
It's usually a commune until somebody gets the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm. Okay, I think this has devolved into madness now. So,
oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know. It usually does. It's usually where you end up and they're like, we just stop recording now. We're just talking gibberish. Sound like the preschoolers again. Anyway.
You do that really well. I'm pretty sure that you are 3.
We've established that 20 minutes ago.
Was it 20 minutes ago?
I can't tell time.
It's like 5 minutes ago.
I never learned how to read.
That explains a lot.
That's why I haven't finished the books. Anyway. Okay.
And back around.
I think that's enough.
Yeah.
I think we've yammered at these people long enough.
Yes. Okay. Thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you very much.
You know, good for you if you got to the end.
Yes. All done.
I am Rachel.
And I am Shannon.
And this has been another delightful episode of
Our Life in Transition.
Bye.
Toodles. Hey, Pumpkin. Mm-hmm. What's my name? What's my name?
Sandwich is right there.
Mm-hmm. What's mommy's name?
Rachel is right there.
Okay. What day is it?
Sunday.
It's Thursday. And what is the meaning of life? The meaning of life is 42. That's right. And one last question. Viva la what?
Viva la Pontaria.
That's right. Okay. Good job, Pumpkin. All right. Bye-bye. Say bye.
Bye.
Thank you again for listening to Our Life in Transition.
This show is hosted by Rachel and Shannon McDill.
Our producer and editor is Shannon McDill.
Our theme music is Seize the Day by Jens Kilsoft.
Support us on Patreon at patreon.com/olitpod. That's /OLITPOD.
Your support makes this show possible. Thank you.